Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's go and talk about another case that is back in the headlines. Brian Koberger. A week after Brian Koberger.
One of my favorite graphics of yours, by the way.
Well, Bri is bored. He is. After a week after Brian Koberger filed a handwritten petition claiming he was tricked into confessing four times. Reporters traced his own language back to the true crime book his defense team tried to suppress. The evidence, he says, was hidden from him, was examined by an expert his own lawyers hired. Criminal defense expert Bob Mata is with us, host of Defense Diaries, on what's actually in this filing and the one claim the state cannot afford to ignore. Let's start with Koberger's petition. He says his plea was based on faulty premises that were circumnavigated by a broken plea. The exact phrase, broken plea, it's the title of a shitty book published in April of 26 by Christopher Wickham. The term clumps of hair that Koberger cites as withheld evidence appears in no court filing. It appears in no police record, in no lab report. It appears in the book. He even used the book's language in a statement to the New York Times. Is this petition actually built on fact, or is it built on the work of this author, Christopher Whitcomb, and his conjecture on it, and Koberger is somehow confusing it as fact, or that it somehow lends him to get a trial? What's your take on what Koberger is attempting to do here and where it may go, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think that Whitcomb claims that he had access to, you know, the police reports and files. Yeah. I mean, like whether he did or he didn't, I have no idea.
Yeah,
you know, but what I do know is that Brian Koberger stood in front of a judge and in front of the families of those four victims and said, "Yes, I did the things that they're saying that I did." Mm-hmm. And I'm waiving my appellate rights, which creates a massive, massive mountain for this guy to climb in order for him to get a new trial. And, you know, I mean, does that mean that it's an impossibility? No. And he's basically leaning into the one way that it could happen, which is my lawyer fucked me. You know, my lawyer didn't tell me about this evidence. I went in and made a plea agreement not knowing that this evidence existed. So it wasn't knowingly, you know, I didn't have knowledge of those things. So how can that be a knowing plea agreement when there's, in my estimation, exculpatory evidence that exists out there? You know, here's his problem. You know, at this point, he's basically broken privilege. So ultimately what's going to happen, and it depends, you know, I get the sense that Ann Taylor is a defense attorney, you know, and the one thing that we hold sacred as defense attorneys above all else is that our client's privilege, you know, that we're not going to disclose what they tell us. If we destroy that privilege by just turning around and, you know, spilling state secrets or you know, client secrets in this fashion, you know, then that goes away. And then the bedrock of defense work no longer exists. So, but, you know, Ann Taylor is going to have the opportunity to say, well, you know, this is where it really lays. This is what's mm-hmm. actually going on. This is what the evidence actually said. This is what I told Brian Koberger, I personally don't think it's going anywhere.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people out there. Well, I hope he gets a new trial. That way he can get the death penalty. They can kill him. My position has always been, you're seeing it in real time with him sniveling and whining about mm-hmm. how, the other inmates are, constantly torturing his ass through the vents. There ain't nothing worse than living your entire life in a box, baby. I'm telling you, the death penalty is the easy way out.
Yeah.
You have this guy living in a box for 40, 50 years, just getting psychologically R-worded by the mm-hmm. other inmates.
Yep.
Facilities, man.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit if he gets 3 squares a day. You're living in a box. Everything that we take for granted every day of our lives on the outside as human beings is all lost. It's all gone. You are living in a box for the rest of your life. Ultimately, if your question is, do I think this thing's going to prevail? No, I don't. I don't think he'll get a new trial off mm-hmm. of it. Do I think that it can be litigated? Yes. I think that they will try to litigate it. I think I saw that he was appointed attorneys,
yep.
I believe. They're going to take a run at it. Ultimately, at the end of the day, how impossible and difficult it is to undo the conviction in this country. Well, when you're the guy standing in open court and admitting to doing it, it's even harder. These aren't the ramblings of a man in the throes of psychosis in his jail cell saying, I did it. I think I did it. Evidently, I did it. This is a guy who stood in front of the world, was admonished by the judge as to his rights and claimed that he understood them and still said, I did the things that they said that I did. It's like people wanted the details. And I know that the feet and the families wanted to know why. Everyone wants to know why.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are just broken. There is no.
Yeah, lie. He's a sadistic fuck. That's why.
Right. There's
really no other reason.
Exactly.
And Bob, I'm curious about, because again, I'm going to give you props right now. I'm going to tout your John Wayne Gacy podcast, Buried, because you talk about this a lot in how you approach that case and how lawyers approach these cases, because you're looking for facts, you're looking for interviews, you're looking for details. The last thing you did was rely on someone's book because that means it's subjective, it's deals with publishers. And that's my question on this. So he's using very obviously a book that's a hearsay book that admittedly by the author himself, didn't do any follow-up, didn't conduct any interviews, was given a file by someone who broke a non-disclosure agreement with defense and handed it over to another third party. That reaches the bar for someone to take a look at this case again?
I don't think it does. I don't think it does. And you're talking about Brent Turvey, who was the criminalist that was hired by Ann Taylor. I don't think that it does, but it's not up.
I would hope not.
Side. Yeah, I mean, people accuse me all the time because I'm a defense attorney and I've got my channel over there. They're always saying, oh, you think everybody's in this bullshit.
No, you don't.
I learned a lot about you. I learned a lot about defense attorneys, and you've made me a fan of them, Bob. You are a purveyor of justice, ensuring that the system works so that everyone gets that fair trial, that we uphold the Constitution. I mean, I listen to your stuff because it's your favorite time and my favorite time. It's definition too. Time.
I mean, look, if we want to, there's nothing more that we want than to feel secure in the convictions that we get at trial. Right.
Yes.
And the only way that you can feel secure is by knowing that everybody did the job right. That the cops did the job right, that the prosecutor did the job right, that the defense attorney did the job right. If one of those parties fails, then the system has failed and due process has not been had, and you've got to go back and you've got to do it again. No one wants to put families and victims through a second trial. It's a fucking nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare, and people lose sight of that. People are just, I call them the torch and pitchfork crew who just run around, with torches and pitchforks screaming, yeah, guilty, guilty, hang them. I don't give a shit about trials. Well, you don't want to live in a country that doesn't have due process. I promise you. Yeah. I promise you. You know, so, I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, do I think this has legs? No. Can I be wrong? Sure. I can.
Have stranger things happened? Yeah, exactly. Broken Plea, obviously, the title of that book. It's the term that he uses in this is handwriting. You brought up earlier, he has broken privilege by coming out and saying Ann Taylor did a shit job in not so many words and that he was lied to and blah, 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 blah. Now that he's broken privilege, what does that open the door to in terms of what Ann Taylor can talk about publicly?
What's that mean?
about the conversations that were had behind closed doors. Because if there's anybody who was close to Koberger, unlike anybody else who would have heard his inner workings, his inner thoughts of him participating in his own defense in the years leading up to the trial that never was, how much do we get to hear? Does Ann Taylor get to write the tell-all book now?
I mean, essentially.
Yay.
Actually, I mean, like whether or not she'll do it is that that's what I was talking about. I mean, she strikes me as a defense attorney's defense attorney. Meaning,
sure. But she's got to, I mean, I see nothing wrong with standing up for yourself when your client that you dedicated that much of your life and your reputation to goes and throws you under the bus. Is there anything wrong with at that point coming out and saying, no, that's not how it went down?
No. And look, at the end of the day, how much she'll disclose or not disclose is going to be up to her, but I mean, she's certainly going to protect her integrity and what she did in the job. You know, I mean, if you look at it ostensibly just from the outside looking in, I mean, the woman litigated the shit out of that case.
Yeah.
She filed every motion that needs and is required to be filed in the death penalty case. I mean, she came up with some of the most novel arguments in terms of attacking the statutes, you know, that I had ever seen. I was always like, oh, I think Ann Taylor's been sitting on this argument for 20 years, waiting for the perfect case to come up where I can attack this particular Idaho statute. And she did. You know, I mean, there is no part of me that believes that Ann Taylor sold her client down the river.
No.
I think what the conversations that took place are that simply put, because people keep pointing to Ann Taylor saying, oh, you know, early on in the case before she got into all the discovery, when she says, my client's innocent, Your Honor, when she said that and people like to hang their hat on it. Well, then she started looking at all the evidence, which even as trial was approaching, she was still saying, I haven't gotten through all the evidence. I'm concerned, which could be another thing that that Koberger could hang his hat on in terms of she had said, like, I'm concerned about ineffective assistance because I haven't gotten through everything because there's so much of it, you know, and the judge, Hippler was like, look, you know, we're going to trial on this damn thing. So, you know,
what are the next steps here? Where could it possibly go? I think that's what everybody wants to know is, does this end up in a courtroom in some sort of a hearing? Is this just end in things being filed and dismissed? What happens next, Bob?
Theoretically, it should end up in front of Hippler again. It's basically a post-conviction act type petition where he's petitioning the court. I don't like. I've got a dear friend who's a habeas lawyer who knows that process far better than I do. I don't do habeas work, but that's in the federal system. I believe that this will ultimately end up in front of Hippler ultimately, and that petition will get filed. He's got these attorneys. They'll flesh out his arguments. They'll file, and there's timing, time frames on it that are going to have to be abided by. But and then obviously the state will have its opportunity to challenge that. And then ultimately it'll go in front of a judge, and a judge is going to decide whether or not it warrants taking the next step, you know, and it's like, so post-conviction work has stopped. So, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, I don't know how far it's going to go. Like in my estimation, it's not going to make it past the first step.
Yeah. So, you know, if Hippler tells him to go pound sand, is that just the end of it, or can he appeal that further? Can he go anywhere else, or is it just like, nope, you hit another brick wall, Brian?
I mean, it's pretty much good. I mean, he can appeal it up, but you know, ultimately, it's going to probably end with the same result. And then whether or not he's got the ability to come with some kind of habeas petition is a different story altogether. But you know, look, people just need to understand this is the biggest mountain to climb.
Yeah.
Because he pled in open court. He admitted guilt in open court. And it's like you just can't walk that back on that. My lawyer
is it. Is it even more difficult than if you were appealing a verdict? Because obviously this never went to trial. He pled, they get convicted, they appeal that. This is just asking for the trial that he already waved away. It's like, no, I changed my mind. I want the trial. Is this even more difficult?
After the fact, it's not timely. That's the other part of it.
Yeah.
This is not a timely thing. Like, I would have had to have been done in 30 days. I'm looking to withdraw my plea. This is 13 months after. And again, this isn't a verdict.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is him in open court having been admonished by the judge as to his rights. And he made his admissions. He admitted guilt. He said that I did the things that they did. And now he's going to I don't know how you're walking that back. You know, and I've seen some chatter that there was some talk of an Alford plea, and an Alford plea is essentially where you're saying, I'm going to plead guilty. I'm not admitting that I did it, but I do admit that the state has enough to probably get a conviction if it were to go to trial. Like, I haven't seen any proof or evidence, because I think the family was saying that.
Yeah.
Like that either the defense was asking for or the state had offered it, which would blow me away. Somebody needs to prove to me that Bill Thompson offered an Alford plea to Brian Koberger before I give that thing anything oxygen or any kind of oxygen at all, you know, because that the families would just their heads would have exploded.
Yeah.
If that was even a possibility, because that's basically allowing him not to go into court and do what he did. I did it, you know, so.
I got one more on this. Do you think he had, because obviously he's throwing Ann Taylor under the bus on this whole thing. So I'm highly doubtful he went over to Ann and said, hey, I'm going to file this in my own handwriting. What do you think? I don't think there was any sort of review by her in terms of a legal capacity. When you read that, other than Brian going to a thesaurus and thinking he's the smartest person in the room, do you think there was any sort of legal consultation that was done before calling the New York Times and filing this?
No, I don't. No. I think that he just went to whatever law library they had there, pulled the book, took a couple months to draft it, and then fired it out, or whatever Whitcomb's book came out. I don't think any lawyer was, you know, maybe some lawyer who wants to throw his hat in the ring and get some notoriety, like send him a letter. Who knows?
I don't know.
It probably wasn't on his own initiative. So most likely, you know, in order for him to get a book in prison, it has to come directly from the publisher. I'd imagine one of the Koberger fans out there had one sent to him, and he's like, oh man, here's my one key to freedom, or just to attention, so I can get better bananas. Really, because when you have no information left to use as currency because you suck so bad, you're going to get attention somehow. So I think that's why I did it. But Bob, really quick, I wanted to go back to your definition stuff. We're talking about this all happened because, well, not a result of what happened. He had a broken privilege. Can you, a little granular there, what does it require, at what level is it considered broken privilege so that Ann now is released to chat as well? Like, what did he do specifically that was broken privilege?
Well, I mean, essentially he challenged her integrity in terms of claiming that she did certain things. So what that does in terms of conversations that were had or not had. So in privilege is held exclusively by the defendant. Like it's the privilege, like a lawyer can't say I'm waiving privilege.
Right.
Only the defendant can do that. And when you say, all right, well, Ann Taylor didn't do this or didn't do that. Well, Ann Taylor, that's essentially going into attorney client communications. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which is where privilege lives, when the defendant is going ahead and saying, okay, well, I'm going to start talking about things that either she told me or she didn't tell me. Then you're talking about privilege, and for all intents and purposes, it's been waived. So whether or not they're going to litigate how far she can go, that's probably a thing that'll happen in terms of, you know, has privilege been completely shattered? I don't know, you know, because it's a pretty bare bones thing that he wrote. So, I mean, that's going to play itself out. But essentially, if just look at it this way. If a defendant is going to go out and say, my lawyer said this, or my lawyer said this, well, then you've broken privilege and you've waived it to a certain extent. I don't know that what he wrote in that particular petition, if it shatters privilege completely, but it certainly gives Ann Taylor the opportunity to be able to respond.
To respond at least within the scope of which he spoke.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Cool. Thanks, Bob.
Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'll continue our conversation right there. The links are in the description. Defense Diaries, that is Bob's podcast. That's Bob's YouTube channel. Go check it out. Press subscribe. And Buried, inside the John Wayne Gacy investigation. Did I say it?
Nailed it. You nailed it.
Damn. All right.
You got to do it. You want an education on absolutely everything. It is the one-stop shop for true crime on every single aspect, with understanding the law, understanding how things work behind the scenes, and witness tapes, interviews. You get, it's the full package, with Bob doing an amazing analysis throughout with unexpected outcomes, surprises. It's better than any Netflix thing you'll ever watch.
And he'll sell you Amway while you're listening. You'll be like, holy shit. I'm an Amway.
Yeah, I know. I'm a fanboy.
He's that good. Do go check it out. Buried, inside the John Wayne Gacy investigation, wherever you get podcasts. Great, great listening, especially if you're trying to get like one more summer road trip in here. Get that before you hit the road and listen to it. Robin's latest book, It's Not All About Me. It's available wherever you get books. Go check it out. Leave a review on Amazon. That is much appreciated. All right. That's going to wrap it up for today. Until next time, for Bob, for Todd, for Robin, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bruschi, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like live dealer blackjack and craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.